Hello and welcome to the First Pres Mommy Podcast, the show for people on the go who like to stay in tune with the conversations at our church. Today we start a new series in the book of Hebrews. Landon Rohrer shows us Hebrews 1 verses 1 to 14 to help us recognize who Jesus is. He is the Son of God, He speaks today, and He is superior to all creation. The one who lived, died, and rose for you. Let's hear today's message.
Easter was just 7 days ago, but I don't know about you, it was a wonderful morning where we lift up the hope of Christ. And yet, though just 7 days ago, for me, it feels like it's in some ways ancient history. You know, life continues as it normally does, and the things that bothered us before Easter bother us still, and the things that distract us still. And Easter should have changed everything, and yet we struggle to bring that reality into life. And so it is, we come into a new sermon series that we're beginning this morning and carrying all the way through the summer. We're going to be working our way through the book of Hebrews beginning this morning. The book of Hebrews sounds like an Old Testament book. It's not. It's in the New Testament. It is near the back. And Hebrews introduces Jesus and lifts up his identity as the source of our hope, and then calls us into a covenant relationship with Christ. What we just celebrated there in the sacrament of baptism is the entry point into that covenant relationship we're called to share together. And as a result of that relationship, Jesus calls us into a better way of life. And so that's, you see the title for this series, Holding Fast, not letting go of Easter so quickly, holding fast to Christ's covenant and a better way. This morning, Landon Rohrer will be preaching, but before he does, I want to read to us from God's Word. And so I invite you to open to the book of Hebrews. I'll read all of chapter 1. If you're using a pew Bible, that's page 1204. And again, a reminder, if you're in the chairs, the pew Bibles can be found under the seats, either your own or the one in front of you. Hebrews chapter 1. Allow me to pray as you are turning to God's Word. Lord, indeed, we need you. We want you. We're so grateful for all that we celebrated on Easter morning. And we believe in the resurrection. And we seek to place our hope in you. Even so, Lord, in the rhythms of our day, we find that the things that distracted us before Easter Sunday distract us still. And the doubt and the struggle and the fear remain. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would reveal yourself to us again, that like your disciples, we would remember and recognize who you are as the one who is the ultimate source of our hope. We pray for Landon this morning, that as he preaches, your Spirit would fill his heart and his mouth, that we each would hear from you through his sermon. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Hebrews, beginning chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. If we haven't met, my name is Landon Rohr, and I'm the director of Next Generation Ministries here. And another way to think about that is I am Youth Pastor Plus. I do a lot of things. I love my job, and it is a privilege and a pleasure not only to worship with you, but to preach this morning. It's not lost on me how important what this is and what an opportunity it is that Pastor Clint has provided. So thank you. And I just want to echo some of the things Pastor Clint has already said. It's been 7 days since Easter, but we're in the Eastertide season, and that's not a word I knew until I came to church. And so what that means is we're still celebrating Easter. We are still celebrating. We have already celebrated the joy of an infant baptism. Shortly, we will celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion with one another, which means that today is one of the few days that we celebrate baptism and communion on the same day. It's a joyful day indeed. Amen? Good job. You are all still awake. Now, last week, Pastor Clint preached about the men on the road to Emmaus and about how they didn't recognize the resurrected Jesus until after he broke bread with them. The very sacrament that we will take today is the same one that helped these men, men who had seen Jesus face to face in the flesh, recognize him. And we may not have seen Jesus face to face, but we do know him. But like Pastor Clint said, it's been 7 days. Is the truth of Easter still ringing true for you? Are you still worshiping the resurrected Jesus Christ, the one who was so powerful that death could not hold him, that he walked out of a grave? Or is Jesus somehow a little bit less powerful today? Does the hope that we find in the resurrection still dominate your life and give you hope for the future? Or if things become a little bit more hard to find hope in? If we're honest, we're like the men on the road to Emmaus. Some days, like on Easter, we're like the men after Jesus has broke bread with them. We see him, we know him, and we place our hope in him. The same way they did. They said, he is the one in whom we have hoped, and it is true, Jesus Christ, the Lord, is risen. But before he broke bread with them, they did not know him. I don't know if their hope was dashed, but it certainly seems like it wasn't quite what it was after they had encountered him. Are you like the men before Jesus broke bread with them, or after? I hope it's after. And I hope that if you hear me say nothing else, you'll hear me say this, that Jesus Christ is the one you should put your hope in. There is no one and nothing else more powerful than him. When times of crisis come, put your hope in him. As we turn to chapter 1 of Hebrews, we will see what the Word of God says about who Jesus is and why you can put your hope in him. As you do, ask yourself this question: can I really put my hope in Jesus? Is he enough? Allow me to pray before we turn to the Word. Lord, I thank you that you have given us your Son, that he lived and died and rose for us, that you have displayed your great love for us in him, and that we can know you by him. Lord, may we learn more about who Jesus is and the work that he did for us on the cross. May he become our hope, as without him, Lord, we are hopeless. Lord, would my words fall on deaf ears, and Holy Spirit, would your words be the ones that ring true? It's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, normally as you begin a series in a book like Hebrews, someone would give you a bunch of background about the book and kind of prop things up, and we don't have time for that today. So you'll get more of that in the future. But I will give you two things. The author of Hebrews is anonymous. We don't know who it was. But we do know that he's writing against something called Gnosticism. And Gnosticism is this other teaching that is taking place after the death of Jesus that says that there is secret knowledge, or gnosis, which is where the name Gnosticism comes from. And the more of this gnosis that you have, the holier you are, the more likely you are to be saved, and that there are layers or hierarchies to this knowledge. So at the bottom of the layer, there are people, and then above people, there are angels, and then above angels, there are the ages, and above the ages, there are the heavens, and then all the way up above the heavens, there is the true secret knowledge. And what this means is that people were worshiping things other than Jesus. They were worshiping angels. They were trying to climb the hierarchy and to learn from people who had more of this secret knowledge than they did, instead of worshiping Jesus. So as we read through the book of Hebrews in the coming months, keep an eye out for this Gnosticism idea, and keep an eye out for hierarchies in particular. They show up in these first verses almost immediately. From the very first two verses, we see that the author is trying to say that Jesus Christ is not at the top of a hierarchy, like Gnosticism would say, but that there is no hierarchy. There's simply Jesus Christ. Look at what verses 1 and 2 have to say about who Jesus is. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. That is, that God spoke in an ongoing manner, and he spoke in a variety of ways. He spoke through a burning bush. He spoke through a burning pillar. He spoke through a talking donkey. And if we're lucky today, he'll speak through me. But in these days, yeah, you got to think about it. You don't want to hear what I have to say, trust me. You want to hear what the Lord has to say. Good job, everyone. So in the past, he spoke in a variety of ways, in an ongoing manner. But today, right now, God has spoken to us. He has not spoken to our ancestors. He has, but he's spoken to you. And he's spoken through his Son. He hasn't spoken through prophets. God's communication to humanity, the words that he speaks to you, are no longer ongoing and in a variety, but it's final and it's singular. And God speaks through Jesus. Jesus Christ, the living word, is God's final word. Think about that. If you want to know more about God, if you want to hear from him, you can go straight to him. You can hear from Jesus. When I was younger, I did not know Jesus, and I was introduced to him by a man named Ryan Irwin. And Ryan explained the Bible to me. He told me who Jesus was. And he told me about some of his mentors. And I thought, man, the guys that taught Ryan must be really sharp. I want to learn from them. They must know more than he does even. We see a hierarchy. Think about your life. Who are the people that introduced you to Jesus? Who are the people that taught them about Jesus? Do you want to learn from the higher ups? That's what we're prone to do. But what Hebrews is saying is that we don't have to climb the ladder. We don't have to go through intermediaries. We can go directly to the source. Ryan Irwin and his mentors, the people that introduced you to Jesus and the people that introduced them to Jesus, all learned from the same person. It was from Christ himself. There is no secret knowledge. You don't have to have the right teacher. That's not to say that having teachers isn't important, but that you can go straight to the source. You don't need to listen to the right people. You need to listen to Jesus, and he will speak directly to you. After Easter, we know that our King Jesus is not dead. He is risen. He is alive. We worship a living God. And he speaks if you're willing to give him your ear. So I have to ask you, will you give him your ear? Will you listen? And have you heard the message that he speaks? The message of life, the message of hope, a message that no one and nothing else can even come close to. You can hope in Jesus Christ because he speaks directly to you today. And there is no one and nothing else that speaks a message that pales in comparison to the message that he shares. The message that he died and paid the debt for your sin so that you could be restored to the Father. What else could you hope in? And you might think, well, there are a few things that I do hope in, and so do I. I hope that people will follow the law every day. I don't want to get in fights. I don't want my things stolen. I hope that my medicine works. If you don't know this about me, I'm a type 1 diabetic, so I depend on my insulin. If it doesn't work, I could die. I hope it works. And in a more lighthearted sense, I really hope my GPS works. If you ask my wife, if I don't have my phone, I'm not getting to the right place. I have a terrible sense of direction. But all of these things, they lack something that Jesus has that makes them inferior to him. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That makes him superior to everything. Let's look at what verses 3 and 4 say about Jesus' sonship. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. When we studied the Nicene Creed, we spent a lot of time talking about the Trinity and about Jesus and how he is both fully divine and fully human, how he is of two natures, yet one essence with the Father. And if we think in terms of hierarchies, you might think, well, the Son is below the Father. In our world, that's the case. A father is superior to his children. But if that were the case with Jesus, you would fall trap to something called subordinationism. You would be saying that Jesus is less than the Father. But he's not. In Hebrews, it makes it plain that he is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. He is the visible image of the invisible God. And as verse 3 says, he is the exact representation of his being. If you want to know God, you need to look at Jesus and you need to listen to Jesus because he is God. And in verse 3, we see what that means. The Son is sustaining all things by his powerful word. This is in the present tense. Jesus is doing this today, right now, every day. And when you hear the word sustain, I don't know what you mean, what you think that word means. When I hear sustains, I think Toledo Edison keeps the light on. They sustain me. Or I think of the various grocery stores that it takes to sustain my appetite in our snack cabinet. It takes a lot. But those things don't sustain my life. It is Jesus Christ who sustains my life. And if we can go back to this analogy of food for just a second, you might think, well, I need bread and water to live. I need food and water. I need nourishment. But the Bible is clear. In Deuteronomy, we hear that man shall not live by bread alone, but by the very word of God. Jesus Christ is the living word of God. He is what you need to be sustained. And Jesus, in the Gospel of John, calls himself the source of living water, a living water that anyone who drinks of it shall never be thirsty again. It is Jesus who will satisfy us. No one and nothing else can satisfy us like him. Why? Why is he able to do that? Because he is the Son of God who has inherited all things and is powerfully sustaining them by his word. It's Jesus. He sustains all things. This includes you and your life. You belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to Jesus. So who better than to put your hope in? Who else could you put your hope in? And you might go, well, how do I know I can hope in him? You know, we've seen the resurrection, we've celebrated Easter, but look at what the rest of verse 3 says. It tells us plain as day. After he, being Jesus, had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Notice that where before we were in the present tense, now we're in the past tense. That Jesus has already paid, has provided purifications for your sins. This means that Jesus has already saved you. You don't need saving. You need to take hold of Jesus. You need to let the power of the gospel reign in your life. You need to turn away, to use a more theological word, you need to repent from all the other things that you're putting your hope in and put them in Jesus, because you've already been saved. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And this not only makes him the means for our purification, but it also makes him our judge. And think about the love of this judge. This is the judge who lived, who died, and who rose for you. This is the judge who has gone to great lengths for you. And this is the judge who is interceding on your behalf at the right hand of the Father. You can place your hope in Jesus not only because of the power that he has inherited and that he displays, but you can place your hope in Jesus because of what he's done. He died on the cross. Because of what he's doing, he's interceding on your behalf. And because of what he will do, he will be your judge. There will be a day of judgment when Jesus will return. And he knows us, and he loves us, and he will restore us to the Father. You can hope in that. As we continue through Hebrews, you might notice that there's an interesting turn. We start to talk about angels. And as I said earlier, the people receiving this letter, some of them were worshiping angels. These people did things other than worship Jesus, as the best way to put it. And the author of Hebrews tells these people that Jesus is superior even to them. Look at verse 4. Jesus is as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Now, this doesn't come across very clearly in English, but what the author is saying is Jesus is as superior to the angels, his degree, as his name is superior to theirs. And this idea of a name might be lost on us, but it wasn't lost to the Hebrew people. If you know the story of Jacob and Esau, their names tell you the whole story. Jacob and Esau were twin brothers. Jacob was born first, and Jacob was well known for being hairy. Do you know what the word Esau means? Hairy. Yeah, good job. You all know your Hebrew. Jacob was born second, and he came out of the womb holding his brother by the heel. Now, Jacob means a few things, but one of the things it means is holder of heel. Don't we all wish that we could name our children so easily? We sit around and we go, ah, oh, this name, that name, we can't name them this because I worked with a kid and they remind me of them. They just called them what they were. Jesus comes from a Hebrew word. It comes from the Hebrew word Yeshua. And Yeshua means the Lord saves. Not that the Lord saves through or the Lord saves by, but the Lord saves. The Lord saves in Jesus. His very name makes him equal with the Father. If he's equal to the Father, then he must be superior to the angels. And I wish I had more time to talk about angels and to ask you what you think about them, because I think some people really do place a lot of hope in angels rather than in Jesus Christ today in the modern day. But the scriptures make it plain that Jesus is superior to them. So if you still have Hebrews open, we're just going to look at a few of these citations that the author makes. If you would read verse 5 with me. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. The Son of God is Jesus Christ. It is not an angel. He is superior to them. And verse 6, and again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he said, let all God's angels worship him. We worship something that is greater than us. Jesus is superior to the angels. And then look at verse 13. This is amazing. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? The one who sits at the right hand of the Father is not an angel. It is Jesus Christ. You can hope in Jesus because there is nothing and there is no one greater than him. Not an angel, not death, absolutely nothing. And so now, with this in mind, we can return to the men on the road to Emmaus. They broke bread with Jesus, they recognized him, and they returned to Jerusalem and they shouted, it is true! The Lord, he is risen. Their hope had returned powerfully. And Hebrews helps us recognize who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He speaks to you powerfully today. He is co-equal with the Father. He is ruling over all creation and upholding it with his word. And he is superior to all of creation. Even angels. He has paid the price for your sins, and he sits at the right hand of the Father interceding on your behalf. You may be tempted in times of crisis to place your hope in things and in people other than Jesus. When life is at stake, when money is dashed, where will you turn? Doctors, savings accounts, the government. Where will you actually put your hope? I'm here to tell you, don't put your hope anywhere. Anywhere other than Jesus. And don't put your hope in a Jesus of your imagining. Don't put your hope in a Jesus that you've heard about. Put your hope in the Jesus of Scripture. The one who lived and died and rose for you. The one who sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf. There is nothing and there is no one superior to Jesus. Who else or what else could you possibly hope in? Who else carries the same good news? Who else is as superior? Who else loves you this much? Christ has given his life for you. And in a few moments, as we approach the communion table, remember that. And as you do, place not only your hope in him, but place your very life into his hands. That is what it means to put your hope in Jesus, to entrust yourself to him, that when calamity would happen, that you wouldn't run to anyone or anything other than him. And when you put your life in his hands, I promise that you will know more fully the power, the satisfaction, and the life that can be found in him alone. If you would pray with me. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that through it you reveal just how powerful your son is. I thank you that you speak to us today, that you rule with powerful words, Lord, and that you are superior to all things, that you are co-equal and co-eternal with the Father, that Jesus lived and died and rose for us, and that in him we can have hope. We can have hope that we can have in nowhere, in nothing, and in no one else. Lord, help us to put our hope in you. Would we not turn to other people and other things? Would we not be so weak? When we are scared, would we run to you? When we are desperate, would we run to you? When we are joyful, would we be joyful and grateful to you? Lord, help us put our hope in you. It's in your son's name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Landon.
We hope you've enjoyed our First Pres Mommy podcast. Learn more about our church at our website, firstpresmommy.org. Have a great week.